Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Let's bring in Todd Koprovich from BaltimoreSports.com. Talk some Ravens with us. What's going on, Todd?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Not bad. Not bad at all. And, Todd, we saw Tylan Wallace be able to get another touchdown on Saturday afternoon. He's pretty much been the only receiver for the most part. Maybe some Dayton Wade here and there throughout the preseason, but not a lot of offense to speak about in general through the 3 preseason games to this point. How are you feeling about Tylan Wallace right now compared to where you were feeling about him maybe at the start of training camp?
Yeah, they're saying he was a bubble guy. I didn't really buy into that. He's a 4th-round pick. He's a real good player on special teams. And then, you know, he flashed in the preseason games. He also played really well in practice. And that's the best way to get on John Harbaugh's good side, to practice hard, to practice well. So, yeah, I mean, I think he might even play a bigger role in the offense this year, you know, as opposed to special teams. But he has pretty good hands, and he has good yak, too. So he's the kind of guy you want to keep an eye on. I think he's played really well, and I think he could do some damage this year.
Hey, Todd, I tell you what, like, when you look at the cutdowns for the defense, you know, I think they're going to have some tough cuts, because I think they've got depth at most of their positions. The offense, totally different. I could see them, you know, other than Josh Johnson, I think their practice squad quarterback, I don't think it's on the roster yet. 3rd running back, I could say I don't think it's on the roster yet. And if there's a blocking tight end out there, I think they pick that up too.
I 100% agree with that, Vinny. In fact, I did my roster rejection for a 3rd running back. I said veteran free agent. Because I don't think, you know, with Owen Wright going down, he's going to be out, you know, with a broken foot. Ali hasn't played his way onto the roster because of his injury. You know, they don't really have a guy. So I think they'll be able to get a free agent there. Yeah, and like you said, I don't know if Charlie Kohler and his blocking skills are, you know, they're confident in that. That he can be the guy. So I think, yeah, they bring in a blocking tight end if one's out there. And he'll always be definitely offensive line. You know, with Samick going out probably on the IR, they got another spot on that offensive line. So they have some wiggle room on the offensive side. But, yeah, I think the defensive, yeah, like you said, the defensive side is, I think it's pretty much set. The question is, did they keep both Braid or Kane as safety? Did they keep both of them? That's the question going into the final days.
We're talking to Todd Koprovich from BaltimoreSports.com. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Todd, this offensive line has been a huge question mark for the Ravens all summer. We didn't get to see Tyler Linderbaum or Ronnie Stanley play in the preseason, but we've seen quite a few of these guys that are going to be in the mix for starting along this offensive line, and they're going up against backups. How did you feel this offensive line looked throughout preseason?
They got better, I think, as the games went along. Jones struggled against the Packers. He missed that block. It's got his quarterback killed. But I think they have the offensive line start. The only thing we think we might see in the opener against Kansas City is I think McCarry might start at right tackle. instead of Rosengarten, at least in that first game, because of just the way that the intensity of that game and the, you know, that the environment. So I think the offensive line, you know, that's set. John Harbaugh said he's pretty confident Tyler Linderbaum will be back at center. That would be huge, because I don't know if you want Ben Cleveland doing it. And again, you don't want McCarrie. You'd rather have McCarrie as a swing guy or playing tackle. But I thought Rosengarten played better in that third game. I thought Voorhees also played better. But this is going to be a work in progress. And then the question is, how much can Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry mask, you know, some of these challenges offensive line to these guys get their feet under them?
Well, I think with that, you know, the big thing with McCarrie and, you know, with Linderbaum, we don't know. You know, I mean, Linderbaum, hopefully he's going to be able to play a whole game. We don't know. He hasn't even had pads on yet this year. You know, so McCarrie may have to – let's hope that Linderbaum can play four quarters. Otherwise, McCarrie's got to go in there, and then Rosengarten. I'm just nervous about the consistency of the offensive line. Lamar's going to be running for his life some. There's no doubt about that. And I don't know if they can knock people off the ball to create holes, you know, for Henry.
Yeah, the run blocking has been actually better than pass blocking.
They're not physical.
No, and that right side, Kansas City is going to attack that right side of the offensive line.
Oh, no doubt.
We're watching film, and they're gonna put the pressure on Jackson. You know, if they don't get him time to throw, and they can bob Derrick Henry, that makes the Ravens one dimensional, and that's gonna be a problem. This isn't a real physical, like you said, Vinny. I don't think it's a real physical offensive line yet. You know, and they're dealing with Joey D leaving and passing away. They're dealing with a lot of emotional challenges right now. Yep. These guys are going through. So yeah, it's just a tough conference offensive line right now. And then now they got to adjust to a new coach. So yeah, it hasn't been a great training camp for the offensive line, you know, on the physical or emotional level.
Todd, let's go to the defensive side of the ball and the secondary. A lot of depth there, a lot of young guys, but some guys that are, you know, have been here for a couple of years and kind of need to show something. Yesterday, I thought it was a big game for Pepe Williams to show something. I thought Pepe needed to have a solid game yesterday. I didn't think he played that great. I thought he
missed
was on the bad side of on the bad side of some pass plays down the field. Got a touchdown scored on him. How do you feel about Pepe's spot on this team?
Yeah, it definitely wasn't his best game, but I think he doesn't make the roster. I think he was a bubble guy, but I think he makes the roster. I think he did pretty good on special teams, which is going to work in his benefit. Yeah, that was not a good game against the Packers. And, you know, I don't know how much is he going to play in the regular season. We'll see. He's a depth guy, you know, and the question is TJ Tampa ready to come into play? You know, that's another question mark. That could open a spot. Yeah, so this secondary, they're also going to be challenged early in the season. You know, Marlon's healthy. Brandon Stevens is healthy. It looks like Nate Wiggins is going to make an impact. And Armand Davis had a really good camp, too. So their top end guys are good. The guys behind them with depth, a little bit questionable, including Pepe.
Now, you know, you talk about Bo Brade. Bo Brade showed up. You know, he shows up in both sides, you know, in the pass game and the run game. But in the pass game, it's usually negative. In the run game, it's positive.
Yeah, I think he played aggressively. I think he got better as camp went along. I think he was dealing with an injury during the rookie camp. He's played well over the past couple of weeks, yep, which is what you want to see. I thought Kane played pretty well, too. So the question is, do they keep both of them?
I like Kane. I think if they cut Bo Brade the way he's been playing, I think somebody will pick him up just because he's aggressive, you know, and a good special teamer. He was on a lot of those teams. But I kind of like the way that he plays, you know, inside. And he's got really good instincts because he knows how to shoot the gap. He can see the ball, you know, so he has a good feel in there, too.
Yeah, he's a physical player, too. Yeah. I thought Kane had a good chance, too. Seventh-round pick. You know, somebody might pick him up, too. So they need to be careful as far as his practice squad goes, who they put on there. I don't think they're worried about Devin Leary. But some of the other guys, you never have questions about.
Todd, last thing for you, David Ajabo. We've gotten to see him for the last couple of preseason games. What have you thought about him as of late?
Quarterback hitting each of the past two games is pretty good. He's getting good pressure. He's moving well. You know, these quarterback pressures have to translate into sacks. So that's going to be key for him. And the key for him also is going to be healthy because we know he's got the pedigree. You know, he's got the physicality. Now he's going to stay healthy. I think, you know, he'll be a guy, if you can get him on the field, third down, blitz the quarterback, keep his role pretty simple until he gets his feet under him, I think he'd be pretty good. But the key for him is he's going to be healthy. Can, we didn't see Odafe Owe in any of the preseason games, but he's really flashed in practice. He's really been in the backfield a lot. So maybe he picks up some of the slack with his sacks. But, yeah, you know, like last year, the question mark is what are the edge rushers going to give him as far as sacks goes? That's a question going through the season.
Todd, really appreciate your time, man. Look forward to seeing you if you're out at the park later on today. But we're getting ready for the NFL season at this point. We're in regular season mode.
Thanks, Todd.
Sounds good. Yeah, I'll be out there.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get to the whip around. College football was back out on TV earlier this weekend. Got to see Florida State get upset by Georgia Tech out in Ireland. The Yankees.
I love that.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't upset with that. I was just glad to get real football on, to be honest with you. But college football was back this weekend. Had some baseball yesterday. We'll recap it all next here on.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm the fan.
Vinny and Haney's Whip.
Brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
Starts the fourth quarter with a chance to take the lead. And up and over and in goes Jamal.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. It's the Whip Around. Cordell Woodland in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. That audio you heard courtesy of ESPN. Georgia Tech pulls the upset over number 10 Florida State out in Ireland. 24-21. Getting college football started off with a bang. I mean, Florida State, they march up the field on their first drive, score pretty easily, and get the two-point conversion. And it's like, all right, what type of game could we be in for? But credit to Georgia Tech, they dominated the line of scrimmage. Chunk run after chunk run after chunk run. Not a lot to be said in the passing game for either side, which is kind of crazy for Florida State, considering DJU was as highly touted a prospect as there were a couple of years ago in Clemson, and he's moved around a little bit. Hasn't really worked out for him at any of his stops. Florida State being the latest, they fall to the Yellow Jackets 24-21 to start the season off and to start off ACC play.
Now, Cordell, I was moving Vincent in Saturday at Penn State and watching the game with his two roommates, and they're Penn State guys, and they were cheering like crazy for Georgia Tech because, you know, the way football is now with the playoff, yeah, if Florida State loses, you know, that probably helps a Penn State team if they lose a couple games, too.
Right.
I mean, that's how people are kind of thinking about this now. And I think it's great for college football. Yeah, the quarterback, Agunglele, you know, I'm not that impressed with him, Cordell. Like you said, he's been to three schools. there's a reason why he's been to three schools.
Yeah, yeah, it's not showing up. The good side of DJU hasn't been showing up in a lot of these games. And I didn't think he was flat out terrible, but he wasn't good. He definitely wasn't good. And this is not the way Florida State, I'm sure, wanted to start their season off losing
Georgia
to unranked
Tech's
Georgia
all right,
Tech.
Though.
They are. They are. And it's week zero, now about to be week one, but... Yeah, I mean, they looked solid. They definitely looked solid out there on Saturday.
Quarterback was all right. Yeah. The head coach is a former Georgia Tech player, old lineman, and they kind of got that mentality. He kind of reminds you a little bit of Dan Campbell,
mm-hmm.
the coach.
Let's go over to MLB baseball. Of course, we're keeping our eye on everything that the Yankees do. And yesterday, they defeated the Rockies 10-3 thanks to back-to-back-to-back home runs.
Aaron Judge swings and flies it. Deep right center field. Back near the wall. It is gone again. Aaron Judge, number 51. Soto and Judge go back to back.
That audio courtesy of WFAN out in New York. Yankees win 10-3. Juan Soto got it started with the home run, and then Aaron Judge followed up going back to back, and then Giancarlo Stanton came up and went yard as well. Three straight homers for the Yankees, who bounced back after getting their butts beat the day before by the Rockies 9-2. Mm-hmm. They bounced back and beat the Rockies 10-3 yesterday. They're now a game and a half up on the Orioles in the division.
Yeah, and if Stanton, you know, Soto and Judge have been hot, and if Stanton gets hot, that's going to be scary too, because that gives them three legitimate guys that can hit it out of the park.
Yeah, it does. And look, man, you gotta keep your eye on what's going on out there. Somebody's got to start separating themselves from the bunch. Hopefully the Orioles can kind of wake up and it turns out to be that they're the ones that's back to playing at a high level. But right now, they're still chasing that consistency. Last night, we had some NFL football on. Preseason football on Sunday Night Football, Commanders against the Patriots. Mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels didn't play for the Commanders, but the Patriots are still trying to figure out their starting quarterback situation. So Drake May and Jacoby Brissett played. May, I see that Gerard Mayo, head coach of the New England Patriots, says that Drake May is out playing Jacoby Brissett. But for whatever reason, he's saying that's not the lone factor in deciding who the starting quarterback is going to be.
Well, Brissett hurt his shoulder last night, too. I think it was the first play of the game or first pass play, because they just turned the Commanders' pass rusher loose. Mm-hmm. I mean, they didn't block him. They missed. You know, they had some missed assignments. And the shoulder into the ground, and he was wincing in pain. But then Drake May came in and made some plays. I mean, he made some nice throws. His footwork is a lot better, Cordell. Mm-hmm. A lot better than it was in college. More consistent, at least. And he was running the ball, too. Drake May looked good. But their offensive line stinks.
Yeah. And honestly, their receivers aren't much to talk about either.
Yeah,
I think they'll run the ball because that's what they love to do. They'll run the ball at times. I think Drake May will be able to make some plays here or there. I think he should be the starter. He's clearly the better quarterback. They don't have much to play for these days anyway. Might as well let him go out there and you know, try to continue to develop. Here locally, Lamar Jackson looks like today the National Thoroughbred League. The NTL announced that Lamar Jackson is joining the league as his newest principal team owner. Lamar will be part of the ownership group of the league's newest team, the Maryland Colts. So bringing the Colts back to Baltimore.
Yeah, nice. Good job, Lamar.
Right. Bringing it all together. So Lamar dipping his toe into the horse racing world. And I think it was after Preakness, he was there. And he talked a lot about how he enjoyed that event and he liked the event and everything. So maybe it was after that started to really spark his interest.
Well, he did go to Louisville.
Yeah, he did.
You know, so the Derby's
right
there every year. So I'm sure, you know, I mean, horse racing is probably college basketball, horse racing and football, you know, are the big things in Louisville.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll continue to talk about this Ravens team. They're trying to figure things out with this roster, getting it down to 53 by tomorrow afternoon. The offensive line has been the talk of the town. really all offseason. Are we? What do we think about this offensive line at this point? I don't think a lot of us have been crazy optimistic about this O line. Could they be better than we think? We'll talk about it next here on The Fan. I do think when I watch them, the run game stinks. I mean, that's a huge concern for me. They don't get any type of push in the trenches. There's no holes really being opened up.
Nope.
And also, you know, it's not like anybody that they have running the ball is anything special. Nobody's breaking tackles. Nobody has any wiggle. Nobody has the burst to run away from anybody. So it's a combination for disaster when you combine those two things. The passing game gives me some optimism. At times there is a clean pocket. I have seen guys look better in pass protection than I have seen them in the run blocking scheme. So maybe in that aspect I'm feeling a little better. But overall, I just think it's shaping up for it to be an inconsistent offense, considering they're not going to consistently win up front.
Well, the thing that I see with the offensive line is if they want to run anything wide, let's say to the right, Falele can't get his head across. His guy is going to cross his face and get to the ball or make him cut it back. That's the thing that's scary to me about Falele. Now, Falele has to just come off and go straight ahead. You know, I mean, he's not going to, like, punch and get underneath you. No, he's gonna kind of ooze his way off the ball and just put a chest on a chest. And then he's not going to sustain his block. That's the problem. That's the biggest thing I got with Falele is his man. He can't cut off blocks. And Rosengarten, what's going to happen with him? He's athletic and he can get himself like his down blocks and stuff. And if he can get his fundamentals correct and get his head across, get his head in the right spot, he'll be able to shield block. You know, but I mean, Cordell, is he going to get up, line up base block and knock people off the ball? No. And neither is Voorhees is not. Mm-hmm. And Lindenbaum's not that either. Neither is Ronnie. So they're not road. None of them are road graders. And, you know, with Kolar in there, he's got to be perfect on his technique because he's a finesse dude, all the way finesse. He's not knocking me or you off the ball. So that's the thing. That's the only thing that scares me, Cordell. The thing that could help him in the run game stuff is the run-pass option where, you know, you're turning the guy loose or, you know, Lamar's reading him. You know, is he coming up? Then I hand it to Derek. Or am I hitting the slant route or whatever? So Lamar's going to be in control of a lot. I just think it's going to be a work in progress, Cordell, for 4 to 6 weeks. You know, I hadn't seen, you know, I mean, everybody says they got a little bit better. Maybe they got a little bit better.
I think the pass pro has gotten better. I think that has developed a little bit. It's still times where we saw it. You know, Josh Jones, I mean, I don't think there's going to be a spot on this roster for him at left tackle.
No.
It's been too, from the false starts in practice to missed assignments in the game. You got your quarterback killed on Saturday on the blind side. That's just not going to work. But I do think that there have been times where there has been a decent pocket for guys to step up into. And if Josh Johnson can do it, I would imagine Lamar can do it. The run game is what scares me the most. And I've been thinking about kind of what you said for the last week or so about could we see them go from the idea was that, all right, maybe they'll be that smash mouth football team. But the more I watch them, the more I think maybe it will be more option based than, I mean, they've always, the Ravens, that's their game, but I think they're going to lean heavy into the read option, the RPOs, all that stuff, because they're going to have to manipulate the defense. They can't just rely on their guys to win one-on-one battles or to push guys off the ball. They're going to have to give some eye candy, some eye dressing, and let Lamar kind of take advantage of the defense's over-aggressiveness.
Yeah, and the thing we talk about, Cordell, is this offensive line, basically, other than two guys, has played a lot of preseason football and struggled in those games, and they weren't playing any starters. you know, there was no Karloftis, there was no Jones, there wasn't these guys. So that's going to be a totally, totally different deal for them. And that it just makes me nervous. I mean, Cordell, can you see Derrick Henry lined up, you know, behind Lamar in a pistol or whatever, and you hand it to him, and he's coming downhill, and he's going to be, you know, he's not going to have a full head of steam.
No.
Because there's not going to be a hole. He's going to have to create it. He's going to have to cut it back. That's what concerns me a little bit early in the season for them. And if that's the case, Cordell, play action pass on first down.
Yep.
That's, you know, those types of things. Bootlegs.
Yep.
And this is going to be a Munkin's, Todd's going to have his work cut out for him. The offensive staff, their game planning is going to be critical.
410-583-1057 is the number if you want to get in. Let's go to Owens Mills and get Brian. Brian, you're on the fan.
Hey, what's up, Vinny? Cordell. Cordell, that's a good observation, man, about the offensive line. It is pretty much a pretty decent pass block. The running is definitely atrocious. They got to get better than that. Vinny, we don't have 4 to 6 weeks for this to get better. It needs to get better in 2 weeks.
I just think it kind of it is. Well, you know what? Like on the pass pro and stuff, they'll be able to chip and help. Ricard will probably be in there a lot, and he'll help whoever he's going to need to help. You know, they're going to it's going to be very creative what Todd Monken's got to come up with.
I was watching ESPN this morning. It was talking about, you know, who needs to defeat Mahomes, and everybody saying Lamar. And I'm like, first of all, Lamar don't have to do a damn thing. Lamar just plays his game. Lamar's fine. The defense got to beat Mahomes, and the coach got to do his damn job when it comes to putting the players in the right situations to win games. And that means, yeah, John Harbaugh. Because if McCartney on the hot seat, John Harbaugh right there sitting right next to him because they both got the same record. And I don't want any excuses. They better be back in the AFC title game or he got to go because there's plenty of coaches out there to replace this guy with. But I still hear, who are you going to be replacing with? There's a lot of guys out there you can replace this dude with. But I'd much rather have. Y'all have a blessed one.
Appreciate the call, Brian. And, yeah, I mean, look, it.
Brian's been after Harbs for however many years I've been sitting here.
There's a lot of people that feel that way. I mean, I'm not to that degree. I feel like the expectation should be that they have to get back to the AFC Championship game at least. But if I'm being realistic, I don't think that that's going to be in the cards as I look at it today. Sure, it could. If Lamar's healthy and this defense is healthy for the most part and all their skill guys, you know, health pending, they have the talent to match up with anybody. It's so tough to do that again. You know, it's just tough to do it again. A lot went their way last year. A lot of quarterbacks were hurt last year, and they were, for once, not the most injury-riddled team in the NFL. A lot of that is luck. And I don't know if you're going to be able to kind of strike on that twice in back-to-back years. We'll see.
Well, they've been pretty fortunate during training camp. I thought they were pretty fortunate. They were. They didn't have any serious injury to any main guy. I mean, well, Linderbaum's been out a month, and Mark Andrews has missed a week. Have you been out there since his car accident?
I think maybe once. But I haven't seen him.
Now, did his car flip? Somebody said his car flipped.
I don't even know all the full details of that car accident. It sounds like he's definitely dealing with something. It's graduated from it was nothing. He came out kind of scot-free to now he's, you know, something minor, which isn't out of the realm of possibility. The day after car accidents, you know, usually
maybe
you
like
might feel
that,
a little
could
sore
be like
or something
your
like
neck
that.
Or concussion right. or something right. possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's hope that he's back and at it today. That'd be big for them. Now, Cordell, what who's got to really step up their game? Well, no, let me ask you this. Last year's offense compared to this year's offense, personnel-wise, how would you compare it?
if Bateman's going to be what they say he is, and if he looks the way he has when he's out there at camp.
They say he looked good at Green Bay, too.
You know, I would say I would take this year's skill position group over last year's. I didn't think Beckham, granted, Beckham's best ball in terms of consistently was probably during camp, honestly.
No doubt.
I thought Aguilar was a pleasant surprise.
He hadn't even been to camp in Miami yet.
I mean, I don't know what's going on out there, but yeah, I think if especially if Andrews is able to stay healthy and him and Likely can really get something going together, they upgrade at running back, Zay another year, Lamar coming off a second MVP, I definitely think that this year supporting cast is better. I think if they are going to have offensive line issues, this is probably a good year to have it happen because they've got some guys that they could get the ball too quick. That can make something happen. After all, these guys can make something happen after the catch.
Yep.
Derrick Henry is Derrick Henry. So I would have felt a lot worse about this run game if we were talking about this offensive line looking like this last year with J.K. Dobbins and Justice Hill and Gus Edwards. That would have scared me a little bit. But now when you have an elite running back in Henry and Lamar back there, you can kind of make something out of nothing right now.
Yeah, and you know, like people say, oh, Zay hadn't done much in training camp. I said, just wait till the Chiefs game. You know, Zay's going to, you know how many quick passes?
Zay's going to be fine. Yeah.
Zay's going to catch a bunch of quick. He's going to have probably 10 targets in the Chiefs game and have a lot of yak ability after that. But I'm really looking forward to Lamar at the line of scrimmage this year, you know, where he's kind of in control of things. And stuff. So that's going to be interesting. And he's got a tough task, you know, that first game because Spagnuolo is really good defensively at shifting and moving and stuff. And how concerned are you, Cordell, for the Chiefs game with Zach Orr being his, you know, I mean, he called preseason games. The only thing made me a little nervous was when Harbs, you know, we had a cut of Harbs. When he was talking about, I talked to him throughout the game. I was asking him throughout the game and stuff. I mean, you can't do that in the Chiefs game.
Mm-hmm.
So what's it going to be like for Zach Orr?
It's
going to
be different.
One?
I mean, you're going no up doubt. Against, outside of Lamar, the most unpredictable quarterback in the game. You're going up against, in my opinion, the most creative offense in the league. It's in a way, a good thing that this is where he's starting at, you know, for the first game of the season, because you're not going to see another offense as creative as this. You're not going to see another offense that has a quarterback that puts this type of pressure on your defense the way that Mahomes will. So this is a good measuring stick situation for Zach Orr. And the good news for him is he has the player personnel to combat what the Chiefs are going to do. I mean, they have issues of their own as good as they are. So I think he'll be fine. I mean, they're the Chiefs. They'll get theirs. You know, they'll get theirs. But I don't think it'll be a situation where we leave that game and it's like, what in the world was Zach Orr doing? Like, right. I think the talent that he has on that side of the ball will be able to cover up a nice amount of the stuff that happens.
Does it make you a little nervous that two times in training camp this year that Kyle Hamilton's been nicked?
A little, but it makes – we'll see what happens now, with him.
Because he hurt the hip at Green Bay.
Right, so we'll see what happens with that. But the first time he was able to kind of just get right back out there, and it was back to regular schedule programming, 2 days later. So they say it's nothing serious. Last time it was, and I'm hoping that's the – because they can't lose him. I mean, next to Lamar, he's probably
best defensive player.
Yeah, he's for sure – a stud. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll take a trip through the funhouse with Quick Draw McGraw, maybe squeeze in a call or two in the next segment as well. That's next here on The Fan. That's next at 12 o'clock. Right now we're talking to you. 410-583-1057 is the number. Let's go to Trippy in Baltimore. Trippy, what's going on?
Hello, what's going on with y'all?
What's up, man?
What's up, Tripp?
Hey, what's up, Vinny? I got a few things real quick. I'm going to just say this real quick. The offensive line, I feel like even if we struggle, I'm not going to say it's good or bad, but I think it'll work out in the long run because 9 times out of 10, we're going to have to see the Chiefs again. Second of all, I'm kind of worried. Like, I'm big on Zach Orr this year, but I'm still worried. Like, we can go back to, like, the last 3 years. The run defense has been kind of suspect, if you get what I'm saying. Too many big runs, you know what I mean? Third question I want to hear y'all say now. I know, don't get me wrong, I love Deontay Hardy as a special teamer. Before we even signed him, I want him as a special teamer. But I'm starting to look at it like, is he going to just take up a roster spot just to be a special teamer when we might can use like somebody like Dayton Wade? He probably could play, you know, returner and also be like our sixth receiver. And that's all I had to say, man. I'll talk to y'all tomorrow.
Appreciate the call, Trippy. And I've been battling the whole Deontay Hardy stuff myself because it's, you know, when they signed him, I liked it. You know, he's, especially with the new rules, it reminded like Pittsburgh did the same thing with Cordero Patterson. As soon as the new kickoff ruling came out, they signed Cordero Patterson. I feel like that week or the week after, he had a really nice run the other day. In that Pittsburgh game.
But he's got history with Arthur Smith.
Yeah, you know,
as a running back,
right,
kind of.
That hybrid role. I don't know what Deontay Hardy will be able to give them offensively. Doesn't seem like a lot. And even as a returner, is he good enough as a returner for that to be the only main reason he's on the roster?
Well, Cordell, from what you've seen in the kickoff, there really hadn't been any big kickoff returns.
No.
So, and there'll be better people on the coverage units now because it'll be, you know, 53 guys. So, if he's just going to be your kick returner, I have a hard time with that.
Let's go to Chris in Parkville. Chris, you're on the Fan.
Yeah, hey. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's going on?
Same old, just getting geared up for football, like everyone else. I had a question for Vinny. Do you foresee, I mean, now that we have some more complementary pieces on the offense, I think it should be easier for Monken, I believe, like, kind of like, for example, like what Shanahan does, where he kind of like creates these soft zones. And he clears areas out and that's where he, targets the play to happen. I know it takes a little bit more finesse at the quarterback position to do stuff like that, but do you agree? Do you think it'll? I just want to hear your opinion on it. You guys have a great day.
Yeah, he's got a lot of guys that he could throw, you know, because he's got these two tight ends and he's got two or three wide receivers that you feel comfortable and. The reason what Kyle's big thing is in West Coast offense is yak yards.
Mm-hmm.
And they have those guys.
Right.
So, yeah, to take advantage of those types of things makes total sense to let my guys get them in space and let me give them an opportunity to run. And, you know, you can get by in the West Coast offense, you can get by with a little lesser O-line. Then you can if you want to just, you know, the Steelers might be more difficult if you just want to line up and smash mouth, you know, and you got guys that right now can't knock people off the ball. That would be more difficult.
Let's go to Miami and get Jack. Jack, you're on the Fan.
Gentlemen, I think you may be wearing rose-colored glasses here. Last year, the Ravens were clearly the top team in the league. Clearly, as you witnessed, and they froze at the wheel, obviously, in the playoffs. I think we're a lot weaker now, okay? Number one, the offensive line, to me, is in shambles. They don't know who's playing where. They have no continuity playing together. Lindenbaum hasn't played. And by the way, before I leave you, I want you to tell me why they didn't sign Zeitler. So the offensive line's a problem. Secondly, the pass rush is a big problem. You lost Clowney from last year, and none of these other guys have proven themselves other than Van Noy. I'm surprised they didn't consider picking up Judon, which is another thing. And third and probably very important is they lost McDonald as a defensive coordinator, and I don't think you can expect Zach Orr to step in for his first opportunity and do what he did last year. Frankly, I would have liked to have seen him be the head coach, McDonald. So I'll leave it to you fellas and tell me what you think.
Yeah, you made a lot of good points.
And I think those are all concerns that we've had. The offensive line, God knows that's been a concern for us. The pass rush, we've had those same conversations. And we all, you know, understand it's a drop-off until proven otherwise. going from McDonald to a rookie coordinator in Zach Orr. I thought McDonald was the best defensive coordinator in football last year. So definitely those are all genuine concerns that we have about this team. I mean, I don't think I'm sitting here saying that the Ravens are going to be as good as they were last year. I don't think that that's the case. They were the best team in football last year. Right now, they've got a lot of questions going into the season. I still think they'll be a good enough team because they have a lot of talent still. And talent trumps all. But yes, they have some things that they have to there's some questions that they need to answer this season for sure.
I would say this, Cordell, like they're starting 11 on defense right now. I think it's better than the starting 11 last year, other than one spot. Other than Clowney.
Yeah.
Otherwise, because you got Marcus Williams healthy. You got even a better Kyle Hamilton. Mm-hmm. You got a better Marlon Humphrey. Stevens is better, you know, and you've got a lot more depth in there. Your D-line is, you know, Travis Jones is better than he was. And the biggest question, can Oway take Clowney's spot? That's the thing. Because their production in the pass game last year was spectacular. But they're an extremely fast defense. And then the big key is you know, McDonald to Orr. Because, I mean, you look at McDonald, his first year, I mean, they struggled out of the gate. Mm-hmm. And the offense kind of picked him up. Now, with the offensive line, I mean, we've been concerned about the offensive line from the get-go. Right. Oh, and Zeitler was allowed to go shop himself. And the Ravens, they do that with a lot of their players, and they have a price in mind that they're willing to pay. And that was the same with Clowney. And the price that Carolina was willing to pay Clowney, they weren't willing to pay. Okay, mm-hmm. That's fine. They understand that. And the same happened with Zeitler. And I think, you know, Detroit wanted him desperately. They needed a guard. And they probably paid him, I think it was $6 million a year.
Yeah,
yeah, so, that's correct. $6 million.
Yeah, I mean, and I was, you know, Zeitler and Morgan leaving. We have to see with both Morgan starting out at right tackle out of New York for the Jets. We'll see what that looks like.
Simpson sure starting.
Simpson, you know, I was okay with the Simpson one. But
yeah, me too.
The Zeitler and Morgan ones, I especially the Morgan one, because we already figured Zeitler was gone. But to let Morgan go and open up another hole, that was one that was head scratching to me. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get you some news from the Nest. We'll start to put together this offense for this 53-man roster. That's next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the audio.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.